Right, good morning everybody, and welcome to today's symposium on medical exposures, radiation risk and the public. I'm Claire Louise Chappell and I'm a hospital radiation protection physicist here in the UK. And I'd like to introduce our rapporteur for the session, who's Dr. Ana Maria Bomban from Argentina. And she works for the Nuclear Regulatory Authority there and is responsible for radiation protection of all medical installations. And we have a very interesting lineup of speakers this morning, and I think this is a very important session because I think some of the themes that have come through the week already are a concern with medical exposures and the rise in these, but also concerns with communication and with involving all stakeholders, including patients, who are a very important stakeholder in the medical arena. And I think our speakers will be covering all these issues this morning. So it's with pleasure I introduce Dr. Keith Faulkner, who's giving our first presentation. Keith started his career as a hospital physicist in Newcastle and then has moved on to become the Director of Quality Assurance for the Breast Screening Programme. And he's also a consultant to UNSCEAR on their recent report on medical exposures. So thank you, Keith.
Thank you, Claire. What I will do in this presentation is to go through the UNSCEAR report and to describe the background to UNSCEAR. How the assessment of population dose is undertaken, and then to highlight some of the key findings of the report. UNSCEAR is the United Nations Scientific Committee on the Effects of Atomic Radiation, was founded just over 50 years ago, and it was created really to study the harmful effects of radiation on the survivors of Hiroshima and Nagasaki. And over the years, it's expanded its remit to include medical exposures. So since the 80s, assessments of medical exposures have been included in the various UNSCEAR reports. UNSCEAR is an important report in that it's tabled before the General Assembly in New York, and a summary of it is created for the delegates to the United Nations, and they vote on accepting it. So in a lot of ways, it's very important because it's one report on medical exposures that gets and is read and understood, if you like, by the politicians. So the key question is, what are medical exposures? If we're going to assess the dose from medical exposures, you need to have a sort of a good definition of what medical exposures are. And it covers examinations for diagnosis or treatment. It also covers individuals who are exposed as part of health screening programs, be it breast screening or more recently bowel screening using CT colonography. And it also includes the exposure of individuals who are participating in research programs. So all those are included in the definition of medical exposures. And the purpose of the document is to provide an estimate of the worldwide dose from medical exposures. The report is structured in three sections. There's the diagnostic and medical section, which covers all the sort of range of radiology procedures from computer tomography through to dual energy absorptiometry and dental exposures. But when you look at the global exposure, I'll say more about it later, the dose from medical exposures or diagnostic medical exposures is really governed by the dose from computer tomography and interventional radiology. So in order to get really good estimates of population dose, we need to concentrate on doses from those two types of procedures. And the if you think about it as well, that computer tomography is a recently introduced technology, and it's gone from being invented by Hounsfield in 72 to being the by far and away the dominant source of exposure now. And that's going to get higher as we go on with the developments in computer tomography scanning. We also look at nuclear medicine as well, various nuclear medicine procedures, and we looked at PET CT scanning and the treatments using nuclear medicine. Our nuclear medicine exposures, whilst being fewer than for diagnostic radiology, and also have a significant dose associated with some of them. And cardiac studies tend to be the main contributor, really, to doses to the population from nuclear medicine. But practice in nuclear medicine does appear to vary quite considerably between countries. We also look at the medical exposure from radiation therapy, and that comes in a variety of guises. So we look at the frequency of brachytherapy and of external beam radiotherapy. Now, because of difficulties in assessing sort of doses, the radiation therapy doses tend not to be are not included in the overall estimate of dose to the population. So it's really, when we're talking about the medical exposure dose, it's the contribution of nuclear medicine and diagnostic radiology which are included. Just need to explain the dose quantities which are used to assess the population dose. UNSCEAR uses collective effective dose, and collective effective dose is really the total dose received by the population from all the examinations that are performed worldwide. And to estimate that, you need to have an estimate of the frequency of each type of examination by country, and to know how many people live in a particular country. And that's the key information that you need. You need to know the population size, the number of examinations per head of population, and then to assess an average value for that particular dose. And UNSCEAR have a specific set of categories of examinations, and the information is collected via a series of questionnaires. So questionnaires are sent out to the various UN member states, and we get responses from those member states, mainly from healthcare level one countries, some from healthcare level two, and very few from level three and level four. UNSCEAR uses a healthcare level model, a four healthcare level model, which is slightly different to the one that's used by the World Health Organization, and it does cause some confusion and difficulties. It's based upon the number of physicians, and it stratifies, if you like, healthcare in accordance with that. And the data is analysed in healthcare levels. So just to go over it again, the collective effective dose, you need to know the number of examinations in terms of the number per head of population. You then multiply that by the number of people in a country or in a particular healthcare level, and then you multiply that by the average dose for that examination. And that gives you the collective effective dose when you do it over all examinations and all healthcare levels. The other quantity that's used by UNSCEAR is the per capita effective dose. And that's a quantity that really gives you an estimate of what a typical member of the population receives in terms of dose. And in effect, it's the dose, the collective effective dose divided by the number of individuals. The problem with per capita dose is that whilst it gives you it's quite good for assessing trends, its weakness is that medical exposures are on a particular part of the population who are by definition ill. So it's a subset of the population. Just to go through some of the data. If you look here, we've got the frequency of medical and dental examinations. by far and away, if you live in healthcare level one countries, the frequency of examinations is much greater than it is in healthcare level two countries. Level three and four countries have very, very low frequencies of examinations. Overall, there's on average 488 diagnostic medical examinations per 1,000 population and 74 dental ones. If you look at the relative height of the dental examinations to the diagnostic ones, you see that that the ratio does vary quite considerably. So you're more likely to get dental x-rays in healthcare level one countries, for example. And this is used to assess trends. The per capita effective dose varies between healthcare levels. So if you live in healthcare level one countries, the per capita effective dose to the quarter of the population who live in healthcare level one is 1.92 millisieverts, with the global average being 0.62. And the very low dose in healthcare level three and four countries reflects the frequency of examinations in there. So roughly a quarter of the population live in healthcare level one and a quarter in levels three and four. What it does show is the massive disparities in healthcare between various countries across the world, in that there's nearly 100 times difference in radiation dose between them. The collective effective dose is really dominated by diagnostic exposures, and there's roughly 4 million mansievert as a collective dose to the global population, and dental exposures is minute in comparison. About three quarters of the dose comes from exposures to people living in healthcare level one countries, and the major component of that is computed tomography scanning. And about a quarter of the dose goes to healthcare level two countries. If you look at the trends in frequency of examinations, then you can see that it has risen over the past 20 years or so. So it's gone up by almost a factor of two in 20 years. And so you have two things which create an increase in population dose. One is the increase in frequency, and the other is the increase in population. So that means that when you look at the collective effective dose, the rise in collective effective dose is much greater than a factor of two. So it's risen from between 1.6 and 1.8 million mansieverts in the 80s and 90s to up to 4 million mansieverts as it is now. And that's for the two reasons I outlined: the increase in frequency and population. Just to summarise and to look at the nuclear medicine procedures, the per capita dose for people living in healthcare one countries is much higher than it is for the others. It's very, very small amount of nuclear medicine is performed in healthcare level three and four, and there's not much really performed in healthcare level two countries. The result of that is that 90% of the collective affected dose from nuclear medicine is to the people who live, the quarter of the population who live in healthcare level one countries. There are a significant number of therapeutic treatments using radiopharmaceuticals in the world. Once again, there are large variations. You're 10 times more likely to have a radiotherapy radionuclei treatment in a healthcare level one country than you are in a healthcare level two, and 100 times more than you would in levels three and four. But the radiation, the dose from radiopharmaceutical treatments is small by comparison. If you look at the dose from nuclear medicine examinations, the collective effective dose has increased by a factor of just under three since 1988. So we get just over 200,000 mansieverts, and that's a significant increase, I'd say. Temporal trends in nuclear medicine procedures seems to have decreased over the years, in that there's not much difference between the frequency in this survey and the previous one, which is interesting and revealing in itself. Just to summarise, the quarter of the population live in healthcare level one countries. They get just over three quarters of the radiation dose. And the main contribution is from medical exposures, and CT and interventional radiology are the main sources for that. Dental radiology, whilst being very common, the population dose is quite low. Nuclear medicine is an important part of the population exposure. If you live in healthcare levels three and four countries, the collective effective dose is very small by comparison, and it reflects, if you like, the need for, if you like, radiology and nuclear medicine procedures to spread to the third world. And just to finally to say that diagnostic medical radiology, dental radiology and nuclear medicine are now about a quarter of the dose that you get from natural background radiation when it's averaged across the world. So it's four times less than that, but it is increasing. And when you look at man-made exposures, there's no doubt that medical radiology is by far and away the largest man-made source of radiation. So on that note, I'd like to finish. Thank you.
Thank you, Keith. I think we've probably got time for one or two quick questions, if anyone has one. We should have a roving mic somewhere. Well, if no one else has one, can I just ask you one quick thing, Keith? Do you know, is it intended to carry on repeating these surveys at about 10-year intervals, or is there any thought of doing it more frequently, given the sort of rapid increase?
Yeah, the intention is to repeat them more frequently. UNSCEAR want to change the way in which they do the surveys so that you can get more data, better data and more frequent data. So the intention is to be able to do it over shorter term periods.
How much the percentage of answer of the countries in different levels?
Yeah, there's a massive disparity in returns from different healthcare levels. So in healthcare level one countries, about 50% of countries responded in one way or another. With some, that was a very good sort of coverage. For healthcare level two countries, it was a bit patchy, but quite a lot of South American countries actually responded. And they seemed to dominate, I think, the returns for level two. And we were very limited in responses from three and four.
May I ask another question? Do you have any type of promotion, because the strength of these figures are in how much you have in respondents?
Yeah, I'd say the UNSCEAR has recognised that there are issues with sort of the data returns, and in order to address that, they're promoting this with the member states, and they're also intent to make it easier to collect the data, because I'd say that anybody finding the current UNSCEAR forms would find it difficult to complete them, whereas when the intention is to make them easier to complete, and therefore we'll get more data.
Thank you very much. I think that will be great.
Thanks, Keith. All right. Well,